Sunday night with your hands lifted high and reaffirm your trust in this great God that we serve tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, just continue that for a moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody just pour your praise on him right now. God, I can trust you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He's all I need. He's all I need.
Come on, would you sing that?
Jesus. All I need, he's all I need. Jesus is all I need.
From your heart, would you sing that out right now?
He's all I need.
Would you clap your hands unto him? Hallelujah. 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 What a great presence of God is here in this place tonight. Amen. I would direct your attention to the book of Revelation. We'll read out of the 15th chapter, beginning at verse number 2. Amen. Start at verse number 1, Revelation chapter 15. Amen. What an honor and a privilege it has been to be here this morning and again tonight. As I said today, we count it a high honor and a great privilege to be here in this great church. We understand that you don't need us to have revival, but we are honored that you would allow us to be with you and be a part of the great things that God is doing. Amen. We give honor again tonight to your pastor and your pastor's wife, Brother and Sister Myers, such wonderful people that we love and have great respect for and have enjoyed our time with them last night and today. And I'm thankful for genuine, real, apostolic Christian people that you don't have to wonder if they're just putting on a facade or being fake or just making you feel good. I'm thankful for genuine people, and that's the kind of people that you are privileged to call your pastor, and we give them honor tonight, and we appreciate them so very much. I was delighted when I walked in tonight and saw Brother and Sister Tyson, who I have known all of my life, and love them so very much and have great respect for them and their faithfulness to the kingdom of God for so many years. And it's a delight to see them tonight. Thank you for coming. Amen. Anybody going to help me preach for just a few moments tonight? Amen. It's 6:50. We got a little bit of time left tonight. I want to preach to us what I feel in the Holy Ghost. I mentioned this morning that tonight I may tap into the new year spirit tonight, and I believe we're going to do that here in just a few moments, and I believe the Lord's going to do something great. Revelation chapter 15, we'll start at verse number 1. John is writing, and he says, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God." He says in verse 3, "And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." I want to pull my text tonight, my title, if you would, from verse number 3, the simple phrase that John labeled the song of the saints. He said in verse number 3, "They sing the song of Moses." I want to preach on that thought tonight, just simply entitled, "The Song of Moses." Of Moses, the song of Moses. I wonder, one more time before you're seated, could we put our Bibles on our pew? And I invite you to join with me in lifting your voices, lift your hands if you would, unto heaven right now. And could we ask the anointing of the Holy Ghost to minister to hearts and lives in this building tonight? God, we thank you for your wonderful spirit. We have worshiped you, we have praised, we have entertains your glory tonight. And Lord, as we look into your word, I pray that revelation would come to our hearts and in our minds. I pray that you would open the eyes of our understanding tonight. I pray, oh God, that you would minister faith in hearts tonight. God, we are thankful for your blessings. We're thankful for where you have brought us from. And tonight, we are expectant. We are anticipating even greater things still to come. Lord, I pray that you would pour out of your spirit in this house tonight. God, give somebody the victory that they've been praying for. Minister the breakthrough in somebody's life that only you can bring about. God, we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus, knowing that you are full of power, you are almighty, and you are well able to answer our prayer and much more. We believe it tonight. In Jesus' name, would you clap your hands unto him and offer one more shout of praise unto him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. In this 15th chapter of the book of Revelation, from which we read a portion of tonight, John is writing from the Isle of Patmos, whereto he had been relegated for a most unusual yet supremely divine purpose. From there on that isle, John pens the opening chapters of the Bible's final book, beginning with a letter addressing the seven churches of Asia. He then describes a series of prophetic visions culminating in the second coming of Jesus Christ. And as John began to pen the inspired word of God as description of what he was seeing, we are led then to this 15th chapter. Much could be said, but tonight I'm going to talk from these few verses. In this opening verse of Revelation 15, John makes mention of the seven last plagues wherein were filled up with the wrath of God. But then in verse number 2, John's spiritual eyes were unveiled to the sights and the sounds of the throne room, if you will, where John gets a picture of the church. He gets a picture of the redeemed of God, those who had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his names. And I would add here tonight that John was not writing of a church nor
of a people unfamiliar with fighting battles and enduring hardships, but rather John was writing of those who had fought and yet won, those who had endured and never gave up. May I pause here in my introduction for but a moment to declare in this house on a Sunday night that if we are to be numbered among the saints of God that one day will stand before His throne, then you and I must determine that whatever persecution comes against me, I choose to stand in victory. Whatever temptation might come and seek to destroy me, I will stand in unwavering commitment to Him that hath called me out of darkness into His marvelous light. I am just convinced what the Bible teaches about the people of God, the church, the bride of Christ. I still believe it's a glorious church. It's a blood-bought church. Well, I hope somebody's going to help me tonight. Amen. I said His church is not a defeated church. It's not a weary church. It's not a barely getting by church. His church is not anemic. His church is marching on. His church is full of victory and full of power. And if we are to be a part of that church, then I believe we as children of God should take on that same nature. As the body is, so should we also be as individuals. We should be unwavering. We should be consistent. We should be steadfast. We should be immovable. Let the world do what they will. Let politics and government fight it out if they want. But as for me, I'm holding on to what I know is true. I'm standing on the word of God, and I'm going to be a part of this church that God is calling out of here one of these days. John continues writing of them who are victorious, now in heaven, redeemed and triumphant. He says of them, they stand on the sea of glass, meaning they stand before God. And then John sees something in their hand. There they stand before the throne. John says, having the harps of God. But not only is there an instrument of praise in their hand, but also John notes that there is something on their lips. He then says in verse 3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. This song, John says, this is the song that we will sing when we get there. But can I tell somebody on a Sunday night, it shouldn't take heaven for you to realize how great and how marvelous our God is. Amen. It shouldn't take heaven for you to realize that His ways are just and true. It shouldn't take heaven for you to come to the understanding that His name is worthy. His name is exalted above every other name. It shouldn't take heaven for you to realize there is one throne and only one that sits upon that throne. Well, I hope I'm preaching to a one God church tonight. Amen. It shouldn't take heaven for you to realize, amen, that Jesus wasn't some second person in some kind of fictitious triune Godhead, but He is in fact the mighty God in Christ, wherein all dwelleth in Him, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It shouldn't take heaven for you to realize that His power is undeniable. His divinity, His deity, it is unmatched. For He is the King of kings and He is the Lord of lords. So I choose on a Sunday night, amen, that I'm not going to wait on heaven for me to give God glory. I'm not going to wait on the throne room for me to give Him praise. I'm going to start start this new year with the song of Moses on my lips that declares great and marvelous are your works. There's nobody like Jesus. I don't know about you, but I know we preached about heaven today, but I can't wait for heaven. I've got to praise him now. I can't wait for streets of gold. I've got to praise him now. I can't wait for pearly gates. I've got to give him glory right here, right now. Come on, if he's ever done anything for you, you ought to be the first one on your feet that says, if it had not been for the Lord who is on my side, where would I be? Come on, I wish somebody would realize on this Sunday night that there is great power in your praise, and you ought to let nothing get your praise from you. Don't let anything steal your worship. Amen. It ought to be on the forefront of your mind. It ought to be on the edge of your lip. The praises of God that he is so worthy of. Somebody said, I heard a story. There's an old preacher preaching in his pulpit, and he was getting all fired up, and he was screaming, hollering, sweating. And he got to going, and somebody, he stopped, and he made the statement. He said, I had someone tell me here a while back. They said, I never read in the Bible where Jesus ever acted the way you're acting. And that old preacher said, I just looked him square in the face, and I told him, no, but everybody he touched did. I wonder if there's anybody on a Sunday night that would say, I've been touched by the Master, and I can't wait for some eternal day. I'm going to take my moment right here today, and I'm going to give him praise, for he touched my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. So I'm going to praise him right here, right now, for all that he has done. Come on, that's it. Somebody clap your hands and give God praise. Hallelujah. 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 John said they sang the song of Moses. Moses, one of the most well-known biblical characters of the biblical text. We've heard Moses preached. We've heard him taught about in Sunday school. We've sung songs of Moses and his leading the children of God out of Egyptian bondage. We know that Moses was the one that went before Pharaoh on many occasions, and he was the voice of God saying, let my people go. It was as a result of Pharaoh's unwillingness to free the Israelites that God sent 10 plagues to the land of Egypt. And after that 10th plague, finally, they were released, and they spent 40 years traveling through the wilderness. Now, stop and imagine with me, if you would, the tears that surely were shed on that 40-year journey. Imagine the frustrations and the meltdowns that surely they had. I'm sure there were moments where their emotions got the best of them. Surely there were times where loved ones died, kids got sick, they gave up on God's instruction, they turned on the man of God at times. Even there were many moments where they worshiped idol gods. But even with a past full of failure, even with hardship and contempt within themselves, God did not remove his promises and his plans from upon his people. God kept the promises before them and knew that one day he would hear a song come out of their mouths. I don't know, maybe the Lord even said within himself, I know they're a little lost right now. They're just roaming around in the wilderness, taking more time than is necessary. But I'm not going to give up on them just yet. I've got a song that is ordained just for them. I've got a song that I have ordained them to sing. So I believe even in their rebellion, God was waiting for their song. In their losses, place. God knew the song would one day come forth. When they sinned, God just waited for the song to one day be heard. When their backs were turned against him, God waited for the song. Can I preach to somebody on this Sunday night that in spite of maybe your own mess ups, in spite of you and your failures, maybe you made some mistakes this last year. Would you hear this preacher tonight? God has not given up on you. He is still waiting to hear the song of praise that he has ordained for your lips to declare. I don't care how many mistakes you made. I don't care. Maybe you struggled in 2018. Maybe you struggled with some commitments you have made to God in 2018. Be of good cheer tonight. God's not thrown out. Amen. God, his promises for you. He is still waiting for you to get yourself together and determine, I'm going to reach for the song that he has destined for me to sing. I don't know, maybe there's somebody in this house, you've gotten the bad doctor's report. Can I tell you, even still, there's a song on its way. Maybe there's somebody here in the storms of life are raging all around you. Hear me today. There's a song on its way. Maybe the stack of unpaid bills is standing higher than you do. But understand, there's a song coming. Your marriage may be on the rocks right now. Amen. But trust God. There's a song coming. The kids may have gone slap crazy. But I'm telling you, there's a song, a victory on the other side. Stress may be weighing you down, but don't get discouraged. Don't get disillusioned by the evident. Be of good cheer. There's a song not so far away. Maybe you've been praying prayers all of 2018 and none of them got answered. But I'll tell you, you ought to start 2019 saying, God, I'm not giving up. I know I've got a song coming. I know I've got a dance coming. I know I've got a victory coming. So I'll pray again and believe that there's going to be victory soon and very soon. I don't know, somebody said life is full of seasons. Seasons are a part of life. And you may not like the season you're in right now, but hear me when I say this season will take you to where you're going. This season is what will get you to the next season. And the singing season will never be fully appreciated until you've walked through the sowing season. You'll never appreciate the mountaintop unless you've been down in the valley a time or two. Because sometimes where you are is purpose to change your perspective of where you are going. What I mean by that is this: to be truly thankful for freedom, you must know what fetters feel like. To really enjoy the sunshine, you must have somewhere in your past walked through darkness. To appreciate the peace of God, you must have first experienced pain. But let me preach to somebody tonight, in spite of the pain, in spite of the fetters, in spite of the darkness, hear me when I tell you it will not last forever. Desperation's prayer will soon turn into victory song. So I would preach on this first service or this first Sunday of 2019. Don't you let where you've been or where you're at dictate your destiny that is yet to be fulfilled. Maybe you went through some stuff in 2018. Maybe you had some junk come your way. But where you have been should not give you fear. It ought to give you faith of what is still yet to come. So I'm saying tonight, if things have been bad, you ought to put a smile on your face and say, by faith, they're getting better in Jesus' name. If you've been knocked down, you ought to pick yourself up and say, I'm not staying down. I'm getting back up, and I'm going to see the greatest revival in 2019 that I have ever seen before. Oh, I wish if you believe that, somebody would clap your hands and shout yes. God had been waiting to hear their song. Therefore, God led them to what seemed to be a dead end. 40 years in the wilderness brought them to the banks of the Red Sea, and surely there were those in the crowd that muttered and murmured, not against God, but they murmured against the man of God. Why would he do this? Why would he bring us here? Why would he set us up for failure? Moses stretched out. Moses already had a word from God, you see. That's why it's real important. Amen. I know I'm an evangelist and I'm not supposed to get on these kind of subjects. Amen. But that's why it's real important that we listen and we follow the man of God, even if it doesn't make sense in our own mind, in our own way of doing things. Well, praise God. It got real quiet right there. Hallelujah. Maybe I will move on. Amen. I said, I thank God for a man of God that'll hear from God and lead the way even when it doesn't make sense to me. Moses already got a word from God, and though the people didn't understand, they were murmuring and complaining and just throwing in the towel. Moses, with anointing on him, stretched forth that rod over the Red Sea, and that daunting body of water that laid before them. The children of Israel watched as God parched that water with a terrific east wind. And that daunting body of water that laid before them now is split in two, allowing the Israelites to walk through the sea on dry ground with the water as a wall on either side of them. Very soon we read that the Egyptians come after them in full pursuit. Every horse, every chariot racing into the middle of the sea. And as the last Israelite sandal comes off of the sea floor on that side, the last Egyptian Pharaoh's army, the last soldier of that brigade steps into the Red Sea. God breaks down the barrier of water that stood on either side of them. His people now had safely crossed. And at the hand of God, the Egyptian armies are totally defeated. The waters recede back to their natural positions, drowning every horse, drowning every rider of Pharaoh's army. And there the Israelites stand on the banks of that Red Sea, as they watch their very adversary totally defeated, not by their own doing, but by the miraculous provision of the Almighty God. Can you imagine that the change of tune that many of those Israelites must have had? I didn't think this was going to work. I thought Moses led us to a dead end. I didn't think there was anything to this. I thought we was going to die here. I thought this was where doom and gloom was going to find its way to my door. But here I am. We're safely on the other side. We've crossed over and our enemy has been defeated. Can you imagine the celebration that broke out as they began to realize that God had in fact heard every prayer. He saw every tear. He heard every supplication. And after 440 years of bondage and affliction, they watched a miracle unfold before their eyes. I tell somebody, we've crossed into a new year, and be of good cheer. Every tear that you shed, it did not go unnoticed. Every prayer that you prayed, God heard it. Every night that you spent praying, amen, when you should have been sleeping, I'm telling you, you weren't wasting your time. Amen. You were sowing seeds of a marvelous miracle that God is going to come through for you. I can see those weary travelers as they stand on the banks of the Red Sea. They just watched their very enemy be defeated. I can see them as they begin to leap in excitement. I can see them as they begin to dance for joy, high-fiving their neighbors. Amen. Rejoicing over the hand of God. Rejoicing over the provision of God. And I see Moses as he observes the church. He observes the worship of the saints. And Moses says, they're doing pretty good. There's a spirit of worship among us tonight. But Moses says, I'm not going to let this go out with just a five-minute little praise service.
Moses said, we're going to spend more than 5 or 6 minutes on a testimony meeting. Amen. Moses said, we're going to sing about this a while. Moses said, we're going to take some time here. We're not just going to gloss over the miraculous blessings of God. Moses said, let's just push pause. We'll get on with the journey in a little while. But we've got to take time out here on the banks of this marvelous miracle. And we've got to celebrate what God has done. Can I tell somebody on this Sunday night, here we are on the banks of a new year. We've transitioned. You see, that's what the Red Sea was for the children of Israel. It was a time of transition. And here we are too on the banks of a new year in a time of transition. Everything's changing. The calendar's changing. Our resolutions are changing. Our diets are changing. Everybody's trying to lose weight in 2009. Amen. Everything's changing. And here we are. Amen. We could get on with our lives. We could rush through and get busy. Amen. But I feel the spirit of Moses getting on me tonight. Amen. I want to urge the people of God. You ought to take just a minute. Amen. Before you get on with where you're going, you ought to take just a moment and look back over your shoulder and realize that you didn't get here by yourself. You didn't get here by your good looks. You didn't get here by your good works. You got here because of a good God. You got here by His miraculous provision. Therefore, you ought to take a little while on this 2019 new year and say, I'm thankful for every time He brought me through. I'm thankful for every time He healed my body. I'm thankful for every prayer that He answered. I'm thankful. Moses said, folks, we've got to celebrate this. Amen. And this is the way I grew up in Oklahoma. Amen. I just see Moses saying, folks, we're going to turn this celebration into full-blown camp meeting. He pulls out the songbook, if you will, and Moses leads the people of God in a song. It's recorded in the book of Hebrews, the 15th chapter. Amen. And this song, this was a long song. Somebody complained about the 7 verses that the old hymns used to have. This one had about 20, so we're doing all right. Hallelujah. Moses lifts up his voice, and he begins to lead the people of God in a song. Now, I'm not going to read all of it. I'm just going to hit the highlights. Amen. But on the banks of a marvelous miracle, Moses leads the people of God, and they begin to sing. They say, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host has He cast into the sea. His chosen captains also were drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed the enemy in pieces. Verse number 9, the enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide my spoil, my lust shall be satisfied upon them, I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. But thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them, they sank as lead in mighty waters. Who is like thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee? Glory in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. He said in verse 13, thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. And Moses summed up the song with this: the Lord shall reign forever and ever. I know it's a little bit different than the songs we sing today. I know I read fast. Maybe you want to go home and read it, but I'll give you the summarized version. They did not look back over the Red Sea and dwell on all their sorrow. They did not dwell on all of their mistakes. They did not dwell on all of their failures. They didn't look back and sing a song of sorrow. They didn't sing a song of dread. They looked back in a song of praise and said, look what the Lord hath done. I'm preaching on this Sunday night. You ought to look back over 2018. I got excited, Brother Myers. Is this the pile you pulled out? I got excited. He pulled out that pile of prayer requests. Amen. All the great things that God had done over 2018. Amen. I choose to rejoice. I choose to celebrate that it's God that has brought me here. He's brought me to where I am, and I'll give him praise for all that he has done. For every time I felt his divine presence, I'm thankful. For every time I shed a tear and he took notice, I'm thankful. For every time I cried and he heard me, I'm thankful. For every time, amen, I got a refilling of the Spirit of the living God, I'm thankful. For every time I heard the Word of God declared with boldness and authority, I'm thankful. For every time he healed my body, I'm thankful. For every time he made a way where there seemed to be no way, I am thankful. So I choose on a Sunday night to lift my voice in a song. I choose to celebrate what God has brought me from. I mean, you look at Exodus 15 and you can't help but note that it was not an I made it through kind of song. It wasn't a look what we have done kind of song. It was all about God and what he has done. God hath brought me through. God hath made a way. God hath brought us the victory. I'm telling us, amen, I know it's different than this morning, but I'm telling you, amen, I choose to look back and celebrate. It's God that's brought me to where I am, and I choose to be thankful. I choose to rejoice in where God hath brought me from. He's faithful, so I sing. He's holy, so I sing. He's great, so I sing. When the day is long, I sing. When the day is dreary, I sing. When the desert is dry, I sing. When the path is crooked, I sing. No, I don't sing because everything's been good. I sing because he is good. I don't sing because of my own worthiness. I sing because he and he alone is worthy of my praise. So my singing, my celebrating, my rejoicing of what God has done, amen, in 2018 and beyond, it's not my song. It's not meant to be easy listening. It's not meant to tickle your ears. My song is a signal of thanksgiving for all that he has done, for all that he has blessed me with. I choose to sing of the greatness of God. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to preach much longer tonight. That was Exodus 15. Moses leads the people of God in a celebration of where they had come out of. They rejoice over what they had been delivered from. But again, in Deuteronomy 32, Moses sings again. This time, Moses is an old man. Moses is fading off of the scene. He's preparing to pass the baton of leadership to Joshua, who would then lead the people of God on into the promised land. Before he fades off of the scene, Moses, I can see him as he calls the people of God together one final time. Moses said, folks, we've spent a lot of time together. We've walked a lot of miles together. We've shed a lot of tears together. We've had our disagreements. We've shared our frustrations. We've messed up. We've failed. But we've been together. We've spent a lot of time together, but yet we're still here. And Moses says, before I go, before I fade off of the scene, Moses said, I've got to leave you with one more song. One more song. He says, this time, it's going to be a little bit different from that last song we sung back on the banks of the Red Sea. That was a celebration of where God had brought us from. But this time, people of God, I want to lead you in a song that celebrates not where we've been, not what we've been brought out of, but now I want to sing about where you're going. So in Deuteronomy 32, Moses sings again, and he sings about what God is going to do, where God is going to take them, where they are headed. Can I preach on this first Sunday of 2019? It illustrates to me a powerful principle that whether I'm coming out or I'm going in, I've still got a song to sing. I know it's not profound preaching tonight. Amen. Maybe you're just wanting a little more. That's all I got. That's all God gave me for tonight. Amen. But whether I'm coming out or I'm going in, baby, I'm going to do my duty. And I'm going to lift my voice. And I'm going to sing the praises of God. So if you hadn't done it already, musicians can come. If you haven't done it already, I urge you to take some time out to reflect over 2018 and sing that song of Moses from Exodus 15. Thank God for every triumph. Thank God for every valley. Thank God for everything he had done. Thank God for every disappointment, for every provision. Thank God for what he brought me out of. You ain't got nothing else to praise him for. Just praise God that he got you through it. Praise God that he lets you see that old year out. But whatever you do, lift your voice and say, God, I'm going to sing about what you're doing. And I love to reminisce about the great things of God. I love to reflect back over my own life and the marvelous miracles, the testimony that he has given even to me. I got convicted, and I don't have time to go into all this. I got convicted here a couple of years ago because I realized that in my own life, I've got a marvelous testimony to the miracle power of God. Amen. Brother Tyson, you're here. You've known me all my life. You probably remember this better than I do. Amen. But when I was born at 2 weeks old, was diagnosed with RSV, at 2 months old with pneumonia, and somewhere in that time frame, they tell me that I spent 5 days in an oxygen tent, literally fighting for my life. That's why I don't like camping in a tent even to this day. I had my feel way back then. They said for 5 days they watched me literally fight for every breath. And somewhere about day 4 or 5, my mama had stood all she could stand. She had watched that her baby fight for his life as long as she could. Amen. And she crawled up into her daddy's lap and said, Daddy, I can't do this anymore. And as any daddy would do, he just tried to comfort his little girl, not sure of what was going to happen to their grandbaby. And in a matter of moments, the phone rung at my grandfather's house. He answered the phone, and a preacher from 2 hours and 15 minutes down the road said, Brother Cheryl, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what y'all are going through, but I just wanted to call and let you know that your family's been in our prayers and on our hearts these last several days, and whatever is going on, we're believing God with you, that God's going to be glorified. My grandfather thanked that preacher for his call and told him, you don't know how much this means. He acquainted that preacher with my situation, and that preacher said, would you believe, Brother Cheryl, there's a family in our church that I they either had been through the same thing with their little baby or were going through it at that very time. Either way, he said, Brother Cheryl, we know exactly what you're dealing with, and we're believing God for a miracle. And ladies and gentlemen, 28 years now later, I can't tell you why I've never had an asthma attack like doctors said I would have for the rest of my life. I'm not on breathing treatments like they said I would be for the rest of my life. All I know is God looked down and said, I've got a purpose for that baby, and I'm going to give that baby a testimony of just what my power can do. And I, 2 or 3 years ago, was preaching, Brother Myers, it was Easter Sunday night. I was preaching down in Mississippi somewhere. And I was preaching, if I remember correctly, I was preaching a message called Fresh Flowers on an Empty Grave. And I was preaching from the angle of celebrating what should have been but is not. By the grace of God. I was preaching, but you ought to celebrate what God has kept you from. And after the church, is one of the first times I'd preached for this pastor, so we're still getting to know each other. And at the church, we went to Cracker Barrel, and we was sitting there, and we was just talking shop, you know, getting to know one another, where you come from, where I come from, what our life stories are. And he begins to ask me about my life, and so I tell him the same story I just told you. Brother Myers, I'll never forget this as long as I live. Just an hour and a half after I had preached, celebrating what should have been but was not by the grace of God, I told that preacher what I just told you, and he wasn't trying to be smart. He was just having fun. He looked back over that table at me and said, well, have you put fresh flowers on that grave lately? He smirked, I laughed, and we moved on. I went back to that evangelist quarters that night so convicted in my spirit, because I realized I hadn't told that story nearly enough. I hadn't reflected on the goodness of God. I hadn't celebrated the miraculous hand of God that had moved in my life nearly enough. And I made a vow to God that night, amen, that I'm no longer going to take my testimony for granted. I'm no longer just going to move on into a new year and a new season and rack up the years and never take time over and over again to say, God, I'm here because you brought me, and if it had not been for you, there's no telling where I'd be. I hope I'm getting through to somebody tonight. Maybe I'm just preaching to one person, I don't know, but I'm telling you, you ought to take a moment tonight and say, I'm going to reflect over the miraculous hand of God that has worked in my life. I want to invite you to stand to your feet all over this building. If you would, I want you to lift your hands to the Lord right now. I know we're not running the aisles. We might get there in a minute. Who knows? Amen. But I would to God that everybody in this building right now would lift your hands. Amen. And lift your voice unto the Lord. And realize that you're not here on your own accord. You're not here on your own might. You're not here on your own power. But God hath brought you here. God hath moved mountains. He's parted waters. He's performed miracles for you to be where you are right here, right now. Hallelujah. 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 We could go on out of this service tonight celebrating what was, celebrating what God had brought us from. But I believe on the banks of this new year, I believe it would please God if on a Sunday night someone would step out into that aisle and say, Lord, I'm thankful for what you've done. I'm thankful for where you brought me from, but I'm not just going to look back over my shoulder. I'm also going to look out ahead of me, and I'm going to sing about where I'm going. I'm going to sing about what I believe is still to come. I don't know about you, church, amen, but there are promises of God that I have yet to see come to pass. There are promises that I've not yet seen fulfilled yet. So on a Sunday night, you ought to step out into the aisle and say, I'm not only singing about what was, I'm going to sing of what is still to come. I'm going to sing about what I believe is coming. I'm going to sing about the miracle that I'm in need of right now. I'm going to sing about the breakthrough that I've been praying for. I'm going to sing about the revival that I believe is coming. Come on, all over this house, I wish you'd lift your voice. I wish you'd lift your hands right now and somebody sing. Sing about where he's brought you from and sing about where you're going. Come on, I wish I could get through to somebody's spirit tonight. Your best days are not behind you. The best days of the church are still ahead of us. I believe in 2019, God wants to do greater things than we've ever seen before. He wants to show us deeper dimensions of His glory. He wants to pour out of His Spirit in ways, in measures, like we have never seen. I wish somebody would sing about it now. Oh, that's it. Somebody lift your voice and sing about the greatness of God. I believe in Him for greater things. I believe in Him for miracles, signs, and wonders. I believe in Him for a demonstration, a revealing of His glory.
The whole earth sing. I want to sing a new song. Shout it out now. Let the whole earth sing. The whole earth sing. It's a song of praise, a song for all of the redeemed. Let the whole